Good morning, 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. Welcome to the Perspectives Morning Show with Brian and Kate.
Hi there.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Brian. We're going to switch up gears a little bit.
Are we?
We'll go back to the other subject, but it's Thanksgiving, and we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, we're going to be dealing with family, and we're going to be dealing with our relationships as we gather for the holidays. And
oh,
so this,
Yeah, that.
So I found this book very intriguing. We have Dr. Janice Webb, PhD, on the line, and she has been a licensed psychologist since 1991, has worked with a variety of different settings, including a psychiatric emergency service and substance abuse programs, and she has directed several large outpatient clinics over the course of her career. Welcome, Janice Webb.
Thank you, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Your book fascinated me because it has such a different take, and it's called Running on Empty, right? Just came out.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes,
and so I want you to kind of explain what this is about, because it does take a different take than I've seen other books take on similar subjects such as this.
Right. The focus of the book is on childhood emotional neglect. Mm-hmm. And it's different than the typical self-help book, because most books focus on things that happen to people in childhood, mm-hmm. and how that affects them as adults. And emotional neglect is actually something that fails to happen in childhood. It's not something that a parent does to a child. It's something that a parent fails to do for a child.
Interesting.
So this topic is really very overlooked, I've found, just in the general public, and also even among mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. I think we all tend to remember things that happened and mm-hmm. events, and our brains don't record things that fail to happen. So let me explain what emotional neglect is.
Okay.
It's emotional neglect is a parent's failure to validate or respond enough to a child's emotional needs. So you can see by mm-hmm. the definition, it's not something a parent does, it's something a parent doesn't do. So it makes it very difficult to perceive it. It tends to not be remembered by the child, and it tends to be not seen even by people who are watching it. They don't see it happening.
Right.
So it's very insidious.
Interesting. So it's not really the focus. People don't focus on it because it's just not something that comes up. You're always focused on the few isolated incidences that happen during childhood, right? I mean, those are the ones you tend to focus on the most.
Exactly. And that's not just the general public, but also I think mental health professionals, you know, want to deal with people's memories, mm-hmm. and therefore end up focusing a lot on things that happened versus things that didn't. It's kind of the invisible underside of the coin, so to speak.
Interesting. So you call this the white space in the family picture, the things that didn't happen. What are some of the things that come up for people? What do you identify as some things that don't happen that bring neglect?
Well, I'll give you some examples. Let's say a child comes home from school and he's feeling very upset because he had an argument with some friends that day on the playground. Mm-hmm. So he's feeling really hurt by his friends, and he's angry, and he's embarrassed because he cried in front of his friends, mm-hmm. and he's kind of mortified because he knows he has to go back to school the next day and face his friends. So he comes home from school, and his loving parents are very busy themselves, and they fail to notice that he's upset in going about their day. So they don't say anything about it, and they go on as if there's nothing unusual. No one says, hey, say his name is Josh. Hey,
right.
Josh, what's wrong?
Right.
So this is giving Josh a message. It's okay if it happens every now and then. I mean, every parent does this. But if it happens enough, Josh is getting the message that his feelings are unimportant and mm-hmm. maybe not even real. And when a child gets that message enough times during mm-hmm. childhood, mm-hmm. the child's going to feel that his own emotions aren't important and that maybe they're not even real, and might push them down and not see the value in them. And also the child doesn't have the opportunity to learn what feelings are, why they matter, how to use them in a healthy way. That's kind of the mildest sort of example, but to kick it up a notch, mm-hmm. let's say Josh comes home in a bad mood, feeling all of this, and his parents, instead of saying, what's wrong, Josh? Did mm-hmm. something happen at school today? They say, oh my gosh, you're in a terrible mood. Just go up in your room. I don't want to really be around you right now. Come back down when you feel better.
Reject him. to a point.
Yes, that's giving Josh the message that his feelings are unacceptable.
Wow.
And that leads to even more pushing down of the feelings and trying to not have them.
So interesting.
Another example would be a parent who doesn't give their child enough structure and consequences in, mm-hmm. in childhood, mm-hmm. And just kind of lets the child to his own devices, either across the board or in certain areas. Then the child doesn't grow up knowing how to structure himself and discipline himself, and that's why I think so many people end up struggling with self-discipline. It's actually because of something their parents didn't do for them in childhood, but when they look back, they can't remember it because it's not an event.
So we don't really learn, we don't learn how to deal with things that really could help us in our adulthood and through our childhood if we're not taught or if we're not shown when these things pop up like this. This is a great book for parents because, you know, if you were raised, if this is resonating with you out there in the audience as something that you look back and go, oh yeah, maybe that was part of my childhood experience, you can change the course for your own children, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yes, it's amazing how many emotionally neglected adults I've seen who actually say, I had a great childhood, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to dig this stuff out. So a lot of people who end up emotionally neglecting their own children were emotionally neglected themselves in some way. So mm-hmm. in the book, and as a psychologist, I do not blame parents for this. Parents are doing the best they can, the huge majority of parents. And in the book, it's not a blaming sort of book. It's a let's dig this stuff out and figure it out, you know, and how can you fix your own areas of emotional neglect so that you don't accidentally and unwittingly pass it on to your own children. It's totally fixable.
Oh, I like that point. Okay. And do you think it's healthy? I mean, when you look back on childhood and that, probably some of your critics would say, well, should you dig all that up anyway? Does it do any good? What would you say to that?
I would say digging it, the only reason to dig it up mm-hmm. is because any mental health professional will tell you that if you understand how something went wrong, mm-hmm. that's the beginning to being able to fix it.
True.
I'm sure some people can just jump in and fix something without ever knowing what went wrong,
right.
But for most people, it really helps to get a sense of how did I get this issue or this struggle that I'm dealing with right now.
I like that.
And the other reason to dig it up is because emotionally neglected people, because when they look back on their childhood, they can't see any explanation for what they're struggling with as an adult. Mm. Oftentimes, they blame themselves, and it becomes this sort of self-blame game where, you know, it's my fault that I'm having this, that I feel empty or that I mm-hmm. feel disconnected or that I'm struggling to make myself go to the gym. It's, you know, I'm lazy, something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And that kind of self-blame very much gets in the way of correcting a problem. So if you can go back and see why you have the struggle, you can stop blaming yourself, and then it takes all that baggage away, and then you can just start addressing the problem and tackling it in a different way.
I'm imagining that you have written this book because this has come up in your practice as something, reoccurrence that maybe, my main question is what prompted you into writing this book and what happened there? How did you get this take on it?
Because I just continually was seeing people over and over and mm-hmm. over who were lovely people who had fine lives mm-hmm. and they were asking me, what is wrong with me? I have something. I'm different than other people. I just have this feeling that something's not right. I feel empty. I feel like life lacks meaning for me. Other people seem happier and more connected. And, you know, they really feel like there's a flaw in them somewhere.
Right.
And then when I would explore their childhood with them, they weren't necessarily abused, or even if they were, they'd already dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
There was no event that could explain it, and it was then that I started kind of digging deeper, and I saw so much of it that it started to all come together for me, and I started to realize, wait a minute, this is not about childhood events.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Then I started to see that once I help people see it, mm-hmm. it they started getting better a lot faster.
Okay, because you know, it's funny. I have children, and I've said to them, "Oh, I'm sure I'm doing something wrong. I'm sure that in the future you will see something, and I will be the bad guy, and I've done this and that." Yes. Right? I mean, I don't know if I can escape that, because I think we all kind of mess up our kids, based, you know, and it goes back generations. Did we ever get it right? was there ever a generation that got it right, and then all these subsequent generations have gotten it wrong? How do we turn this boat around?
Oh my gosh! Well, I think it's a perpetual struggle that is always going to exist for mm-hmm. parents, because you know the times change and life changes, the world changes, and so every generation of parents is, you know, parenting in a whole different world.
Sure.
And so I think there's never a way to get it perfect.
Okay.
And you know, I have the same feeling that you do.
Yeah.
I make mistakes with my kids all the time.
Right.
But you know, the good thing is you can go back and fix it. There's almost nothing you can't fix.
That's
with a
true.
Kid.
What can we do? What are some steps we can take? What are some concrete steps we can take to make sure that that we are conquering the problem as parents? I mean, a lot of us that have kids. What can we do?
I think step number one mm-hmm. is identify whether you were emotionally neglected in certain areas. And if you were, fix those within yourself,
mm-hmm.
Because that way you won't pass those sort of blind spots that you get from your own emotional neglect down to your kids.
What are a few of those major areas, do you think?
Of blind spots?
Uh-huh, yeah.
People who are emotionally neglected, you know, like just think about Josh, who the example
right.
that I gave.
Okay.
When he grows up, he didn't have an opportunity to learn about emotion and how it works.
Okay.
So, or how to read it in himself or other people. So people who are emotionally neglected often tend up to grow up to have a sort of a blind spot about emotion,
okay.
their own and other people's. And then when they have children, through no fault of their own, they are blind to the emotions of their own children, or maybe even it can be very tricky. It can be even just in some areas.
Okay.
And so if a parent has a blind spot and they don't want to pass it on to their child, mm-hmm. they should fix it themselves first, and that will prevent it from being passed down, because maybe they'll be
Excellent.
Able to read their children's emotions better.
Excellent. So besides awareness, is there anything else that we can be really proactively doing? As far as maybe...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Awareness is only the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It just is a start. And are you talking about in the area of parenting?
Yeah, in the area of parenting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the best thing to keep in mind with parenting is to always feel an emotional connection to your child. Notice what your child is feeling.
Okay.
And help your child name it and try to feel it yourself. Because when you feel your child's feeling... They know it.
That empathy.
They can feel you.
Yeah.
Empathy, exactly.
Okay.
It's incredibly powerful. And when a child feels that her parents understand her and basically get it,
mm-hmm.
she feels an immediate connection to the parent.
And a validation.
That doesn't mean the parent has to feel that the child is feeling is, mm-hmm. you know, right.
Right. Okay.
Or has to give in to it. But and then, you know, the other thing for parents to do is just pay attention to your child and what your child is struggling with and what your child needs, and try to just respond clearly to what your child is struggling with, and let the child know that you see it and you understand, and try to give age-appropriate rules to your child about how to deal with different situations.
Okay.
There are lots of examples in the book of this, and how to do it right and how it can go wrong.
Okay. I like that, because I think, you know, there is the one side of getting help yourself when you recognize these things. And it's not a parent bashing book or a blame game book. And that's what I liked about it. It's not that type of book. It's just basically saying, look, if you're feeling this way, this could be a reason, and you might want to examine this and look at it and maybe make some changes in your life, right? I mean, it's not always
right,
about the blame,
exactly.
You know? You don't have to blame somebody, but it's nice to know why you feel a certain way and what you can do to change that as a parent.
Right, right. And I'm sure some parents do deserve blame, but the huge
sure.
majority do not.
Right.
You know, they were doing the best they could.
Right.
And it doesn't really help anyway to the whole blame thing is not really helpful. What helps is just understanding. It's all about understanding what went wrong so that you can start to fix it.
No, I love this. And I like this for parents, too. You know, we're on the holiday season coming up on that, and people are getting together. And, you know, sometimes it can be kind of volatile. I mean, you look at these, you know, Thanksgiving dinner sometimes is not a fun experience for some. And maybe it's really good to sit down with a book like this and really think about, you know, your childhood and examine it. I think that can be a very healthy experience, right, if you're just even just examining it at some point.
It absolutely can, and sometimes it's funny, you bring up an interesting point that a lot of people as adults will have like responses to their parents that they can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like say it's Thanksgiving dinner and you're with your parents and just your mother is just driving you crazy,
right,
or your father is driving you crazy, or there's something that you don't like yourself when you're around your parents because they're perfectly nice people, and yet you just have this feeling of bitterness or anger towards them. That often is because of emotional neglect.
Mm.
So if you can go back and kind of become aware of it and deal with it beforehand, you may not end up taking it out on your parents, which is another good reason deal with it.
That's a good point, because those family dynamics are there for a reason, aren't they? I mean, those dynamics have developed over a long period of time, right? Okay.
That's right, and they can be so powerful and very confusing.
It's true. It's absolutely true. I love this. And in your book, Running on Empty, I'm going to go ahead and put up a link on Facebook for our audience, and it's called Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you. I think this is a fantastic concept and book, and I'm loving it. So thanks, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You betcha. All right.